Crisis in Kabul. New reporting from the AP says that of the people evacuated so far, only around 5% were American citizens. We are dealing with a major crisis. Joe Biden has fumbled and failed in Afghanistan, abandoning our Air Force base at Bagram, which could have been used to evacuate Americans. And now Americans are being left stranded and trapped. Now, this segment isn't entirely about what's going on in Afghanistan, but we'll talk about it because the real issue here is the United States Armed Forces are in trouble. With the FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine, the Pentagon has mandated that Armed Forces personnel get the vaccine, but out of 1.4 million, 800,000 service members still haven't gotten their vaccine and could face investigations and court martials. We don't have the capacity for this. We don't. We are dealing with the prospect of Thucydides Trap, a war with China, especially over Taiwan. You heard it from Bannon the other day. If we lose Taiwan, we lose access to these chips we need for our computers, our cars, our products. China would take it, and then we'd be at their mercy. The U.S. is frantically trying to get that production back to the U.S., but doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Apparently, they've earmarked $20 billion to try and make that happen. Bannon wasn't confident. At a time when we are dealing with the failures of Afghanistan, signaling to the world that our military is weak, or that our leadership, I'm sorry, not our leadership is weak. But I will say, considering Mark Milley's failure, yeah, perhaps it is weak. We are now hearing that this mandate isn't being adhered to. And this, to me, this is crazy. First, let me just say that, you know, most people I know who join the Army, they walk in, they get a bunch of vaccines as soon as they go through basic training. They walk in, they give you a bunch of shots. And I've talked to people who have been in the armed force. They say, I didn't even know what the shots were. They walked in and said, we're giving you vaccines. Have a nice day. So for this one, it's now FDA approved. There are still a lot of people who don't want it. But this is crazy because this is an order from the Pentagon and they're not getting it. So what does this mean for us in the long run? I've talked to some people who said they think there may be administrative discharges or a medical discharge if people refuse. What do you do? What's a court martial going to do? Are they going to imprison 800,000 people? Will a good portion of the 800,000 ultimately just get vaccinated? Or are we going to see more than half of our armed forces leave? And what's left at a time of crisis? My friends, Thucydides Trap is a real issue. And the conflict in the United States and the hyperpolarization, this is the end of the American doctrine. I think we're going to see a large portion of these people just refusing to get vaccinated. Now, look, I'm more agnostic on it. I think the vaccine is safe. You don't have to agree with me or disagree because it doesn't matter. I'm not a doctor. I think you go to your doctor, you talk to someone you trust, you figure it out. I'm sorry, a lot of people say, you know, I say that too much, but I'm not here to give you medical advice. I'm here to stick to the political ramifications and make sure that's clear to everybody. I think we are going to be in serious trouble now that we could be losing this this percentage of our armed forces, or who knows what's going to happen. Perhaps they'll have to just cancel the whole thing. At a time when we're dealing with what's going on in Afghanistan, this is bad, my friends. Let's read the news. But before we do, head over to TimCast.com and become a member in order to get access to exclusive members-only segment from the TimCast IRL podcast, as well as an advertisement-free experience. And your membership helps support our fierce and independent journalists. We've hired a few reporters to go on the ground and do field reporting. So I'm really excited for that. And we are expanding. It's with your support. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Oh, man. Let's read from the Daily Mail. All U.S. service members must get their COVID-19 vaccine as soon as possible now that the Pfizer-BioNTech jab is fully approved by the FDA. More than 800,000 service members out of 1.4 million still need to get their shots, according to Pentagon data. Those who haven't gotten a shot face a wide range of punishments if they don't, with the most severe being an investigation and court-martial. Of active duty forces, 68% are fully vaccinated and 76% have at least one dose, according to Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby. Data is less clear for Reserve and National Guard members. Okay, so that's good, the majority. But what if we were to lose 24% of our armed forces? Man, talk about China and our adversaries being like, well, a quarter of the U.S. military has just been removed by their own choice. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin directed commanders to impose an ambitious timeline for implementation and to provide regular updates on vaccination. The Army has the lowest vaccination rate, where 40% are fully vaccinated and 57 have one dose. The Navy has the highest, where 73% are fully vaxxed and 79 have at least one dose. Kirby said, the goal was to get the force inoculated as soon as possible, but did not lay out a timeline. Asked what would happen to service members who refused a vaccine, Kirby noted they could apply for a religious or medical exemption, and if those were denied, would have a chance to sit down with a physician and sit down with the chain of command so they could communicate the risks service members incur in refusing to get vaccinated. Ultimately, Kirby said the mandate is a lawful order and that the commanders have a wide range of tools to encourage forces to get vaccinated short of the UCMJ, insinuating the matter could be taken up in military court. I can't give you an exact answer on every single hypothetical, Kirby said, refusing to say what direct consequences would be. The Pentagon has for weeks that such a mandate was in the works. To defend this nation, we need a healthy and ready force, Austin said in the memo. After careful consultation with medical experts and military leadership, and with the support of the president, I have determined that mandatory vaccination against coronavirus disease is necessary to protect the force and defend the American people. A total of 34 service members have died from COVID-19, and 1,998 have been hospitalized. Service members are already required to get up to 17 different vaccines depending on where in the world they are stationed, including jabs for measles, mumps, diphtheria, hepatitis, smallpox, and the flu. Mandatory vaccinations are familiar to all of our service members, and mission-critical inoculation is almost as old as the U.S. military itself, Austin wrote in a memo. I want to pause real quick and just say that's true. We know the story of, was it George Washington ordering people to be inoculated for smallpox? It was rudimentary back then. They would give you a weakened form of the virus. They would like prick you with a needle or something. And I'm surprised that so many people are rejecting this because of how many people just naturally, you get a bunch of mandatory vaccines in the military. Hopefully, and I'll just say this, people will end up just saying, you know, I talked to my doctor, they're fine with it. People will get medical and religious exemptions, and then we'll carry on without massive detriment to our armed forces. But my concern is right now with international conflict, with China pressing on Taiwan, with China threatening us and saying that the U.S. will never defend Taiwan and there will be a forceful reunification. This is the last thing we need. My friends, the Biden administration is chaos. It's pure chaos. You know, they're abandoning Americans in Afghanistan in favor of non-Americans. And I can't tell you why, but I can tell you they clearly don't like you. They don't care about you. Your American citizenship means nothing to these people. They go on to say, Austin noted in the memo, there will be exemptions for medical reasons and a narrow religious exemption. Of those 12 and older who are eligible, 71.2% of the U.S. population has gotten at least one, and 60.4% have gotten both vaccines. The Pfizer vaccine was granted final approval by the FDA on Monday after receiving emergency use authorization in December. Moderna has also applied for full approval of its vaccine, and Johnson & Johnson has said it hopes to do so later this year. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, said Tuesday, Americans can expect many more vaccine mandates now that the jab is fully authorized. You're going to see a lot more mandates because there will be institutions and organizations which previously were reluctant to require vaccinations, which will now feel much more empowered to do that, Fauci said on MSNBC's Morning Joe. That could be organizations, businesses, colleges, universities. We're even seeing it with the military already. President Biden, in his speech on Monday, urged companies to now start requiring vaccines. Quote, as I mentioned before, I've imposed vaccination requirements that will reach millions of Americans. Biden signed an executive order requiring federal employees and contractors to either get vaccinated or adhere to regular COVID testing, to a regular COVID testing scheme. Today, I'm calling on more companies in the private sector to step up with the vaccine requirements that will reach millions more people. If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, state or local leader who has been waiting for FDA approval to require vaccination, I call on you now to do that. Require it. I don't know what's going to happen, but this China, Afghanistan, it makes me feel like the American order, the worst part of it, the foreign policy, it's done. Maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe there's an open window here in that people are going to stand up for what they believe in. And this is a crack in the armor of the authoritarian administrative state. I don't know for sure, though. I don't. I think this could lead to China basically taking more ground and taking over. And when they do, we will effectively be the serfs to their production. What will the U.S. have left? when China becomes the global dominant power. Right now, the U.S. has the reserve currency. So what? What happens when we lose that? China's trying to get off of it. A weakened military? Not the worst thing in the world for some reasons, but very, very bad in general for the American people. Now, I want to highlight a few things because we got to talk about what's going on with this vaccine. A lot of people were questioning whether or not the FDA really approved the vaccine. They did. The FDA did approve this. For some reason, there's this misconception. I have the FDA.gov right here, and they say the FDA has approved the first COVID-19 vaccine. The vaccine has been known as the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and will now be marketed as Comirnaty for the prevention of COVID-19 disease in individuals. For some reason, there are people who think that it wasn't approved or whatever. It is approved. However, for those that are between the ages of 12 through 15, it is only available under emergency use authorization, which means mandates, although they're in place, likely will fall to those who are older than 16. We'll see. For those that may be in the military or may live in New York, well, I'm sorry, New York has no religious or medical exemptions. But many of these cities that have mandates do have medical and religious exemptions. The military says there's narrow exemptions. If there is a religious exemption, it is but a personal choice to adhere to a religion. They're basically saying, just say it. And they may try to deny you, I suppose, but that involves, I guess, ultimately lawsuits. So long, and I'll stress, so long as there's a religious exemption, I think most people who have philosophical issues with it, if your religion says, you know, whatever you believe, that you can't get it, well then, there you go. I wonder what the number will be, though. I don't think all 800,000 will not get the vaccine. I think many of them will, and I think a lot of them won't. So what are we going to see? A discharge? Now, there's more questions here. As the mandates roll out, and we're seeing more and more social credit style mandates and passport requirements, we have this story from TimCast.com. Vaccine-resistant COVID-19 variant is likely to emerge, says Pfizer CEO. The CDC reports there were 37,996,627 COVID cases in the last 30 days. Borla, Albert Borla, the CEO of Pfizer, told Fox News on Tuesday that the company has a system in place to turn around a variant-specific jab within some 3 months. Quote, every time that the variant appears in the world, our scientists are getting their hands around it, Borla said on America's Newsroom. They are researching to see if this variant can escape the protection of our vaccine. We haven't identified any yet, but we believe that it is likely that one day one of them will emerge. Fox News also reports, Borla noted a company process to develop a variant-specific vaccine within 95 days from identifying the variant of concern. Infectious disease experts and public health officials have reiterated for months that broadening the reach of the existing vaccines across the population in the U.S. and abroad will reduce the opportunity for the virus to further mutate. Currently, the C37 variant, also known as the Lambda variant, is speculated to be possibly vaccine resistant. The COVID-19 strain has a similar mutation to the Delta variant, which makes them more contagious. Scientists believe it emerged in November or December 2020 in South America. It has since been recorded in North America, Europe, and parts of Asia. Data from Chile, which has roughly 60% vaccination rate, suggests Lambda may not respond to current vaccinations. In a BioRxiv report from July 28th, researchers noted a big COVID-19 surge had occurred in Chile in spring 2021, suggesting that the Lambda variant is proficient in escaping from the antiviral immunity elicited by vaccination. According to the New York Post, Lambda has so far been labeled a variant of interest by the World Health Organization compared to the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and Delta strains, which have all risen to variant of concern or VOC status. The CDC reports that 171 million people in the U.S., roughly 51% of the population, are vaccinated. And herein lies the problem. For the people in the military, for the people in New York, do you think that they just end with by saying, you get this and you're good? No. The mandates will require endless new vaccinations. Is this tenable? Bill Maher came out and said no. Prominent liberal on his show said he would not get the booster. So what happens when they introduce vaccine mandates and then say, okay, now you need to have the booster. And if you don't, what do you do? Or more importantly, what happens if they say, if the date of your vaccination is less than 8 months from is more than 8 months from today, then you should also have a booster on your proof of vaccination. And if you don't, you don't get let in. Second class citizen. Fall in line. The CEO of Pfizer is saying there may there's, you know, is likely to emerge a vaccine resistant strain. We've already have the epsilon variant is being talked about. The we have the Delta variant, the Lambda variant. This is going to turn into something more than people realize. With the flu, there's a bunch of different strains of the flu. And when they give out flu shots every year, they protect you against certain strains. You can still get the flu. In which case, if the concern is that COVID is substantially worse than the flu, I think it's like double or I don't know the exact numbers. How are we going to play catch up with this? How are we going to live constantly evolving the mandates and trying to roll out every 3 months? You know what they predicted last year? That we would have rolling lockdowns. That we would lock down for a month, then reopen for a month, then lock down for a month. It seems like that's entirely possible. Why? What did the Pfizer CEO say? 95 days. So here's what happens. A new variant emerges, which seems to be happening. And they say, okay, it's not the vaccine is not effective against a new variant. It's only effective for these other variants. And thus, time to lock down to slow the spread, right? That way we need the 3 months to develop the new vaccine for the new strain, and then we can implement that, and then you better get it on your booster shot. You better get it on your passport. From the Daily Mail, protection against COVID infection after two vaccines falls within 6 months and could be at just 50% by winter. Major UK study warns as scientists cry out for boosters. More to come, my friends. It will not just end here. You see what's happening in Australia. You see what's happening in these other countries, in Canada and the UK. They're now saying we must have boosters. Where were we only 3 months ago? Where were we a month? Was it a few weeks ago when Dave Rubin tweeted that boosters were coming? And here we are. They banned him for it. I'm sorry. They suspended him, temporarily banned Dave Rubin on Twitter for saying boosters were coming. Now the story is scientists are crying out for boosters. Where do you think we go next? They're going to call for new vaccines, variant strain vaccines. The next article is going to say booster shots are no longer cutting it. We need new vaccines to be mandated for the new strains. The Daily Mail says two COVID vaccine doses become noticeably less effective at stopping infections within 6 months. A major study has found researchers warned Britons given the jab first last winter, including the elderly, could see protection plummet to just 50% by winter without boosters. The real-world study led by King's College London analyzed PCR results from more than a million people who had been fully vaccinated to look for breakthrough infections. It found protection after two shots of Pfizer decreased from 88% at 1 month, 74% at 5 to 6 months. For AstraZeneca, effectiveness dropped from 77% to 67% at 4 to 5 months. It's unclear whether the waning immunity against infection also means people are less protected against serious illness, hospitalization, and death. But Professor Tim Spector, the lead scientist behind the study, said high levels of infection would ultimately lead to more pressure on the NHS. He urged Britain to urgently get its act together on booster vaccines. That won't end anything. I don't know what to tell you, other than, you know, go figure out your own medical decisions. This is not going to change anything. The goalposts keep moving because it seems to be that we don't have the ability to get a hold on this. Perhaps. We have to learn to live with it, meaning the vaccines are great. People should be encouraged to get them. They should then go talk to their medical professionals and make the decisions right for them. We should protect the elderly and the vulnerable. And it seems like the initial analysis that this could turn into a seasonal illness like the flu, granted worse. It's something we may have to accept. Locking down and constantly trying to make new vaccines may not, ultimately do anything to stop this. But putting in place, you know, voluntary restrictions, you know, meaning if there's an elderly, a nursing home, and they say, we want to put in these restrictions, well, that's entirely up to you. And then allowing people to go to their Walmarts or their 7-Elevens or wherever they feel like going for their, you know, yearly COVID shot like we do with the flu, entirely up to you. But we're not winning this race. Australia's desperately trying. They're not winning. New Zealand's desperately trying. They're not winning. All that's happening is we're seeing loss of life from teens, self-harm, economic collapse, and it just seems like everything's breaking apart, falling apart. We're just slowly strangling ourselves out because we're scared of this. You know, maybe if we were to fully reopen, things would be worse. Who knows? But can we continue to live this way? I honestly don't know. And you know, I think when it comes to the mandates, the worst possible outcome is the loss of our own military and armed forces. Could it be that the U.S. is heading towards peaceful divorce, a fractured federal government, people who don't want to get the vaccines, don't abide by the mandates, and then you get two parent factions of we agree, we disagree, and then what's left? They go on to say, Professor Adam Finn, one of the government's scientific advisors on vaccines, said the jabs are still offering very high levels of protection against serious illness, which is why COVID deaths are still a fraction of the level in previous waves. It comes on the back of a separate study last night, which found 4 in 10 people who have weakened immune systems show low or undetectable levels of COVID immunity after being double vaccinated. Both studies will pile pressure on the government scientific advisors to greenlight a booster jab program for the elderly and vulnerable this autumn. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization is expected to approve booster doses for the immunocompromised in the coming weeks. Now, mind you, they're talking about the UK. Professor Finn, who sits on the JCVI, suggested this morning the group will stop short of recommending them for healthy elderly adults until more evidence of the benefit surfaces. We can see in this graph that Pfizer and AstraZeneca have reduced efficacy as time goes on. We've known this. The Daily Beast published a story, not that they're the best source, saying that ultra-vaxxed Israel is a warning sign to us because they're seeing cases increase. They're seeing vaccine efficacy diminish. I don't know what to expect, and I can't predict the future, but I certainly think the lockdowns are going to persist. Absolutely. They go on to say, Professor Finn told BBC Radio 4's Today program, I think the Zoe study, King's College London, and actually a couple of other studies we recently had do show the beginnings of a drop-off of protection against asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic disease. But other studies are showing maintenance of good protection against serious illness and hospitalization. So that's encouraging, actually, that people who've had two doses are still very much well protected against serious illness, which is our main objective. I'll make that clear. 77 and 67%, that ain't bad, right? The issue is where we go in the future and where people will be at 12 months, 14, 16, 18, right? With the booster shots, I don't believe we have FDA approval here in the U.S. for this. So let me go back to the FDA's .gov. While they're talking about rolling out booster shots for all Americans, currently the FDA says the vaccine continues to be available under emergency use authorization, including for individuals 12 through 15 years of age, and for the administration of a third dose in certain immunocompromised individuals. They do not say that there is an emergency use authorization in this letter for people who are healthy but want a booster shot. So I don't know the legality on that one. Again, you have to talk to someone you trust in the medical field. It just seems to me that the direction we're heading in is rather obvious. New York mandates, New Orleans, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Oregon saying outdoor mask mandates. I think this is very likely to accelerate. The goalposts keep moving. And they keep saying, just do one more thing, just do one more thing, just do one more thing. And therein lies the problem. They're not, you know, going to come out and just say, you know, we're going to enact fascism. They're going to come out and say, look, you've already got the vaccine, right? The vaccine's safe and effective. So just show your card. What's the big deal? In fact, you can show a picture of your card. And they'll say, why are you just using the picture? Just download the app. It takes 2 seconds. But there you go. Download the app and it's right there and you got to worry about it ever again. Oh, you have the app. Well, we added a new feature. This one, you know, has like other issues and medical issues, you know, because we want to keep all of your medical information in one location. Don't forget your ID, though. Oh, well, we are going to include, complaints, allow people to review you and talk about things you've said and done. You see where we slowly move towards accepting social credit scores. It starts with something simple. You want to go to the restaurant? You better get a vaccine. Now, like I said, you know, we have FDA approval here. A lot of people, they booed Trump when he suggested getting it, but I genuinely think it's safe and effective. I think the main issue here is that they're going to use it to implement social credit scores. To get you to, you'll need ID to get into buildings. Then they'll make it really hard. Then they'll try and make it easier using their system. That's what they said in New York and California. I think it may have been de Blasio with the New York mandate. You have the carrot and the stick, and now it's time for people to get the stick. That's what he was saying. Meaning they offered people money, and when they said no, now they're taking things away from you. So here's what I see happening with these mandates. They're going to come out, and they're going to tell everybody you have to get it. And then when they make it as hard as possible for regular people, people will finally capitulate and say, okay, fine. Because it's not hard to go to a free clinic or whatever, right? But then they can add more to it. They can add booster shots. Once they have booster shots, they can add other vaccines. Once they have other vaccines, they can add other medical treatments. How long until we get to the point where it's an all-encompassing social credit system? You are not allowed to go out to eat, and you are excised from what they call polite society. It's already happened. What happens when the vaccine passport app is privately owned? And you need it to get in, but then the privately owned company bans you from it. And you can't get in anymore. How do you prove it? It's really interesting. I was watching Electric Dreams. You should really check this one out. It's very, very fascinating. In one of the episodes, it's Philip K. Dick short stories. It's on Amazon. One of the short stories was about this bracelet people would wear. There were bubbles of, I guess you'd call Luddites, people who didn't want to wear the tracker bracelet. And because of the fear of terror, they make everyone in the metro areas wear them. And if you don't, you have to wear an armband and go through security. And it's very, very difficult. Students at the school would bully those who didn't have the tracker because, well, no one could track what was happening to you. All the more incentive to give in to the government to track you. And then what happened? In the episode, the government uses that ability to frame people for crimes. I'll keep it mild. No spoilers. So that they can maintain their power. You don't want to live in this future. You don't. I'll tell you that. My bigger concern beyond all of this is, you know, what happens when this all comes crumbling down? What happens when we face the genuine collapse? That's why I saw this story and I opened with, COVID and the U.S. Armed Forces. It's one thing to complain about not being able to buy a burrito in New York City, which I think is bad. I'm using one of the most, arbitrary examples. Just going to a burrito shop. Can't do it. Sorry. Unless it's takeout, I guess. Okay, we can complain about that. But we still have the armed forces, right? What if they won't do it? Here's what could happen. For one, the ability of America to defend itself will be dramatically weakened. More importantly, if all that you have left are woke, authoritarian, I'll do whatever I'm told soldiers, well, then you have the real prospect that the establishment elites, they'll engage in more forever war, more nation building. And what happens when your police force and your military don't care about individual liberties or individual rights or informed consent? Will we end up in a situation like the UK or Australia with forced medical examinations? That's Australia for you right now. They can require you to undergo a medical procedure. And where does that stop? Because I don't think it's going to stop with a vaccine. They always want to tell you that it's just temporary, right? But as Dave Smith told us, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program. They'll say, look, with the Patriot Act, we got to defend ourselves. Afghanistan, that was temporary. We're going to go and get the bad guys and leave. And we've been there for 20 years. The security checkpoints after 9/11, we lock it all down. Income tax, apparently that was supposed to be temporary too. They'll never end. You give power to these people and they will keep using it. So maybe in the end, this is just another sign of of everything falling apart, huh? Our military is going to be crippled. Our economy is already crippled. People are going to flee the cities. They're going to flee the armed forces. Whether it's critical race applied principles or it's mandatory vaccination, medical procedures, the more libertarian minded people are saying, no, I will not comply. And good, stand up for yourself, stand up for what you believe in. But where does that leave us? I don't think it's all bad. I think hypercentralization of power in the U.S. is a really, really bad thing. And if power returns more to the states and to the individuals, it'd be a good thing. But when will that happen? This is the fourth turning, my friends. If we encounter Thucydides' trap at this time, we're in trouble. But I'll tell you, I've long entertained the idea that the collapse is on purpose, that to a certain degree it's allowed to happen to avoid world war. Because these powerful international interests don't want to lose their money and they don't want chaos and conflict. They don't want the world to suffer. I mean, well, I shouldn't say it like that. They don't want to blow the world up. They live on it, right? They want the system to persist because they live in it. And Thucydides' trap is bad news. We can't go to war with China. Well, now that the U.S. is falling apart, the American doctrine has collapsed and our armed forces are refusing to get the vaccine to a certain degree of them are. How long until there just isn't an America to engage in a World War III. And then China becomes the international superpower, and we live under their whims. I think that's something y'all should be prepared for. I hope you're ready. You're getting out of the cities. You're learning how to survive, how to farm, how to garden, how to raise animals. I'm not saying the world's going to end or you're going to have to do all those things. But I think that those who are prepared for it will be living more fulfilled lives, will be better off. And that's not in the cities. In the cities, you're going to be living under a boot. So maybe they want people to leave the cities. Maybe they want people to decentralize. That could be it. I think instead of waiting around for New York to put the boot on your neck, as I've long said, it's time to get out of cities and start learning how to be more responsible for yourself, get off the grid. It's good for everybody in the long run, in terms of environmentalism and your personal health. You'll get to be around your kids more often working remotely. You'll get to learn how to take care of a garden and interact with nature more. The cities are bad. But I'm just not a fan of authoritarianism. These are the people who think that they're the benevolent dictators, that what they're doing may hurt people, but it's for the greater good. How many people have to be hurt for your utopian vision? And how many times throughout history does this have to happen until we realize it doesn't work? I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/timcastirl. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.